Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Hello and welcome to the Journey Radio Show. I'm Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and it is Wednesday, and here we are showing up as the She Squatchers talking about Bigfoot and all kinds of cryptids. So I've got my fellow She Squatcher on the line. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
I sure am. Happy to be here today.
I am so glad you could join us. We have a super special guest on tonight. We've got Dr. John Stamey, and he is putting together the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference down in Kingsport, Tennessee, and we are so excited that we get to go down there and be part of that. So without any wasting of time, let's just bring him on and we can talk about it. So hey, John, are you there?
Hey, how is everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Glad you could join us and talk to us about the Tennessee Bigfoot. I heard they're really out there in Tennessee nowadays.
Oh, they are, from what I can tell. I know that my buddy Matthew Delf, who's the head of MECRO now, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization, they're out there looking for Bigfoot every week, and they're here. We've got more and more stories about Bigfoot, and one of these days, it won't be long. We'll have us a picture, or maybe we'll be hanging out with him, or her. Depends. Or,
hey, you never know. Maybe the whole clan. We could have a big barbecue.
Yeah, I like Matthew. Matthew is awesome.
He's a great guy. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to be with everybody next week, because it's already next week for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I can't believe it's already.
It really is. I know. It's coming up so close. So if I may, let me tell you what I'm doing en route to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. This weekend, Carolina Caricatures, which is a company that I have, we are going to be in Kingsport at the Meadowview Convention Center for Conpalooza. That's an event that has 4,000 to 5,000 people. It lasts for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if anyone is around the Kingsport area, please come and visit us. John and Kitty at the Carolina Caricatures booth will be there drawing caricatures. I'm going to have my brand new buddy. My new best buddy is my 7-foot-tall Bigfoot standee. He's going to be there with me. I'm going to be bringing him to Tennessee Bigfoot not this weekend, but next weekend. So come on and join us there. We're going to be passing out flyers to everybody and talking to everybody about Bigfoot and the She Squatchers and a whole list of guests that we've got coming to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. So that's what I'm doing this weekend. And then back to beautiful Myrtle Beach, and then on up the mountain next week for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference.
Whew, that sounds fantastic. So you're warming them up for our arrival. That's awesome.
you better believe it. Everybody in Kingsport, Tennessee that comes to Conpalooza is going to know the name the She Squatchers by Sunday afternoon, guaranteed.
Oh, that's great.
That's wonderful.
Heck yeah.
We feel so special, John. You've really put out the red carpet for us. We really, really feel special, and we really appreciate it a lot. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, you're both welcome. I mean, it's a real privilege and an honor to have the She Squatchers there. You've done so many great things. You go to so many conferences and festivals, and the fact that you are coming to Tennessee, to Kingsport, to our little party up there at Bays Mountain Park, it's a real honor. And just so glad to have you. It's great to have gotten a couple of new friends along the way, Jen and Jenna, and just it's going to be a lot of fun. So again, thank you for being there. And so we're going to pave the way, and everyone's going to know, from the Convention and Visitors Bureau all the way down to the Chamber of Commerce and Bays Mountain Park, they're all going to know that Sheep Watchers are coming to town.
Yay!
That sounds great. Can't wait. And so Jen, Jenna, and Tammy, we're all going to be there, and we can't wait. We're hitting the road early next week on Wednesday. So a week from today, we'll already be halfway there. So
good. Just be careful and all that good stuff. And as my buddy Papa Stroh says, if you need anything, call me.
All right. Well, at least we know who to call if we need anything.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You can call me or Ghostbusters or Papa Stroh. Okay.
Gotcha. That sounds great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
We're excited. We're really excited to come down. And then you're putting on a VIP party reception on Friday night for people to come and meet us and everybody else who's on the list?
That is absolutely right. And all the speakers are going to be there. Now, may I go over the program? It's a little bit of a big, wild, and varied paranormal Bigfoot/paranormal program. Can I talk about some of the speakers here for a minute?
I think that would be great if you could even if you know what they're going to be talking about in their presentation, that would be great too.
Oh, absolutely. All right. First of all, we've got the She Squatchers. Enough said there. You're going to be there talking about your experiences, what you've done, showing video, and all that great stuff. So we've got you guys on top of the program there. Next, we have Matthew Delf, my buddy from Southwestern Virginia, and he's head of MECRO, now Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. He's going to be talking about his various exploits into the woods to try to find Bigfoot, and he will talk about the Indiana Bigfoot experience, which is something really incredible that happened to him. That's what got his interest peaked in Bigfoot. So he's going to be talking about that, and what I will say is talking about Matt and the She Squatchers, we are going to have a special conference edition of Bigfoot Explorers. It's a little book. It's a coloring and storybook, but it's definitely on the adult reading level. It's a lot of fun. It talks about some of the great Bigfoot explorers. Matt and his story are a part of this special edition, along with the She Squatchers and a lot of other great folks, Patterson and Gimlin, and the whole crowd that has really done so much in terms of finding Bigfoot. So we're gonna have copies of that for everybody to check out and see. We've got not only you folks, you and Matt, talking about Bigfoot, but we've got Rick Rayless with Bigfoot Research Organization, BFRO. He is going to be there, and he's going to be talking about structures that they have found in looking for Bigfoot. So Rick is going to be there. He's going to be talking on Saturday. A lot of fun. Can't wait to. I have never met him, but he is a very entertaining person. I've spoken with him. I've seen things on his website and his Facebook page. So it looks like Rick's going to be great to have there as part of our crowd. Then we're going to have Bigfoot Bob, better known as Alex Levinsky. He's our buddy. Matt Delf introduced me to him. He is a psychic, and he also does Bigfoot exploration. He's got a large following on YouTube, and in fact, he's going to have me on there next week. I'll be getting that out as exactly where you can see it. But we're looking forward to having him. He's coming all the way down from Ohio. I know you folks are coming down from the very top of the United States there in Minnesota, but he's coming from Ohio, so we've got another long way guy coming to join us, and all those folks will be with us that Friday night. Now, not only are we covering the topic of Bigfoot, we're going to be doing some paranormal things as well. Now, I know that, Jen, you and I have talked a little bit about it, but we're both very interested in UFOs, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right, and so we have got two of the premier UFO researchers. They're both from Tennessee MUFON. For those that don't know, MUFON is the Mutual UFO Network. First of all, we have the executive director, the boss of everything, Tennessee MUFON, Angelia Scher. She is coming, and she's going to talk about some sightings that she has investigated that combine both UFOs and viewings of Bigfoot. So that's going to be something I really want to see. I have read a little bit about those things, but I've never had anyone to talk with about that specific thing, the connection between UFOs and Bigfoot. I mean, I just think that's going to be wonderful. And then one of her research associates, a field investigator, John Dixon, who's from the Mountain Empire area of Tennessee, which is very near Kingsport, he's going to talk about some investigations that he has done because he's got some great stories. I've known John since the last Bigfoot conference that we had up there, and he's just told me some great stories. And I said, John, please come and let everybody know what's going on in your world doing your investigations. And he's also a student. He is a certified paranormal researcher from the school of Joshua P. Warren over in Asheville. Now, Joshua, as I know a lot of people know him, he's hosted Coast to Coast AM several times when George Norrie was not there. And he's a well-known paranormal investigator. So John Dixon brings a wealth of experience in both UFO investigation and paranormal investigation. So that's going to be a blast. We've got also a brand new guest that I hadn't really told anybody. This one just happened today. This past weekend at Charlotte CryptoCon, Matt Myers, who is the lead researcher for the Lake Norman Monster, was there, and his brother, Lynn Myers, from Winston-Salem, who's a faculty member at a local seminary there, came and joined us. It turned out that one of our speakers was sick and unable to be with us. So Lynn Myers and I stood outside for about 20 minutes before Charlotte CryptoCon talking about the amazing topic of the Bible and UFO abductions. And I stopped him when he got to the second story. I said, Lynn, since we've had a cancellation because one of our speakers was not able to be with us, could you and I go up and could I maybe lead a discussion and you tell us all about this very, very interesting topic? And he said, I would be honored. And it was so well received that I called him today, or actually he called me back today. We were continuing some discussions, and he's going to come up. He and his wife are going to come up to Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and he's going to do a talk on that very thing, Bible, religion, and UFO abductions, alien abductions. And I think that's going to be just wild, especially since we're going to have some members of Tennessee MUFON there. And so it's going to be a very lively and exciting discussion. I'm going to be with him on that. And then I will conclude talking a little bit about the structure of the universe and how it all fits together and what is the Mandela effect. And I might even tie that on. There's no might about it, Jen and Jeff. I'm going to tie that right back into Bigfoot. So we've got a lively discussion for two full days about both Bigfoot, UFOs, and the paranormal. So for everybody that wants to come and talk to all of the speakers, we've got a VIP meetup right after the Friday session. It's going to be at 6 p.m., and when you get there, I'll tell everybody where it is. We're going to have a grand time. People can come meet all three of the She Squatchers. They can meet Angelia and John Dixon. They can meet Rick Rallis. They can meet Lynn Myers, Alex Babinski. And, of course, I'll be doing a lot of talking because I tend to talk a lot. So that's that in a nutshell. I wasn't a lot of a nutshell, so forgive me. But that's a little bit about the flavor of the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference along the vendor at Bays Mountain Park. Bays Mountain Park is the largest, it's the largest city park in several states. They have allowed us to host this event. This is the second year. Many thanks go to Mark Kilgore, who has been our point man over there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I love Kingsport, and I think the She Squash is going to like it just as much as I am. All right.
I sent Tammy the link to the Bays Mountain Park and Planetarium where the event is happening at in Tennessee. And she was looking at that and she got all excited to see that you have a wolf a wolf preserve there. And it raided the Baze Mountain Park.
Yeah. You better believe it. And those wolves, they will howl in the morning. They have a, I don't know exactly what they call it, but they have a howling. And then during the day when the barge goes out and they bring the barge on that lake back in, they go over there and the wolves will howl in conjunction with the tour guide. So it is so cool. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Now, we're not going to have a lot of fall color like we might because it's been warm weather. But it's going to be absolutely gorgeous up there at Baze Mountain Park, which is about 8 miles outside of Kingsport, Tennessee, right on top of Baze Mountain.
Nice. I am so super excited, aren't you, Jen?
I am excited, especially since it's snowing outside right now where we live.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and there's like 2 inches of slush. Look, I'm not ready for it yet.
What are you ladies talking about? And we're in the midst of a hurricane coming through.
Oh,
we're having slippery roads and high winds and snow up here.
Well, in its own way, it's a lot of fun. In fact, Jen, I remember seeing a post that you made last week. It said something like, winter storm warning, you must be kidding me or something. But you really aren't, are you?
No, it's happening again. It happened last week too, but this week it's hitting us.
No.
So it's really getting us this time. I had to go get my scraper out of my trunk area to push the snow off of my car so I could drive it today.
Okay. I'll take Myrtle Beach every day of the week, okay?
Mm-hmm. Me too, actually. When are we leaving?
Jenna.
I mean, even if we just had Hurricane Florence and I almost got flooded. I was about 125 feet away from being flooded out where I live, but as we say in the mountains, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise well. The creek didn't rise enough, so I got to stay dry, thank goodness. But yeah, I'll take this warm weather every day. So that's why one reason we're very glad to have you come down. We're gonna have a blast. We're gonna go out and along with the VIP meeting on Friday night, the meet and greet on Sunday, Matt Delf is going to be taking a group out to find Bigfoot, or at least to look for Bigfoot. And I hope that the She Squatchers will be able to join him. That's going to be a blast. Right now, we've got four people signed up, so it would be four participants. It would be Matt and Sam from Micro, and if the She Squatchers want to join, God, that'll be the coolest. 9 people to go out. Sorry, I can't be there. I'll have to watch the event, make sure it's okay, but. You know, yeah. I hope you folks have a good time up there. It's beautiful in those mountains.
Beautiful. Well, I definitely will bring my hiking shoes then, and my pants and my outfits to be out there. But I suppose you said it's going to be about 65 degrees. Do you think it's supposed to be out there while we're there?
I don't know. I tell you what, I am not one that really believes much in a weather forecast more than 2 or 3 days. But right now, it is beautiful and warm. And the thing about it is, with this hurricane coming through no more than maybe 200 miles from Kingsport, I can't imagine it not being warm while we're up there. So we're going to at least get you folks out of all that cold weather for 3 or 4 or 5 days as you're down here. So I just hope that the weather stays. I hope it doesn't rain. Heck, if it rains, you know what? Bigfoot's still around, too.
Right.
Rain or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say rain or shine, Bigfoot's there. So hopefully you'll find him and get us some great pictures that we can publicize. But if not, you're still going to have a good time.
That is true. Then I better bring my parka, too. I've got a list.
Oh no, Jenna. Oh, she's an overpacker.
I can't help
Jenna.
But you know what? I will have everything that I need with any kind of situation that comes up. So you know what?
Yeah, but Tammy's coming along, so you have to take less along.
Dang it, Jen.
You have to downsize because we need room for Tammy. Last time we went on a road trip, we had no room for anybody else, so we were packed to the roof in the back seat. So
we need room for
Tammy.
We also have a lot of different items like t-shirts and things that we're bringing, because I know we've been asked if we sold them, and we definitely are going to have those for sale at all of the events that we go to. So,
yes, yes. So, to bring less personal stuff.
No. I don't want to.
You're going to have to argue for space in the car with Tammy. So
no, I will. You know I'm good at that.
I know, I know. I have to give you crap because I'm never an overpacker.
Oh, yeah. You're the only one that, like, taught me how to do it. Sorry. We should really talk to our guest instead of talking about overpacking.
I'm teasing because I'm usually an overpacker too, John. It's funny. I have to give her a hard time. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, I've learned that I do my packing the morning that I'm leaving. That way I never pack too much. And if I miss something, I can use, if it's toothpaste or something, I can just buy it on the way. So mm-hmm. I try to travel. I used to be the kid that had to have everything. Now I have almost nothing. I just make sure I have at least one shirt per day, and then I'm good to go. That's Dr. John's rule for traveling.
Nice.
And one shirt per day.
See, and men have it so easy. That's so fabulous. We've got to bring hair supplies and makeup and lotions and...
Oh, well. I don't bring any of that. Jenna brings it all.
Yeah, I always tell her, don't bring any of it. I bring everything. Don't worry about it. Just use mine.
Yep, I don't bring any of that.
That's good. Yeah, but I just try to travel lightly because I'm on the road so much now with the number of Comic-Cons and festivals that I'm working on. So I tell you what, to break in on something else, can I mention something that I've got coming up on December 1st? Would that be
yes.
okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I met a fellow named Rob Kelly. He's a wonderful cosplayer, and he makes wonderfully scary masks. And we were talking about this deal called the Krampus. And he came when we had a variety show called The Night Before Comic-Con Christmas in Wilmington about a year and a half ago. He came dressed as the Krampus. Now, I didn't know anything about the Krampus. And for those that don't know, I'll tell you, think of St. Nicholas, wonderful St. Nicholas that does great things for the good kids and good little girls and boys. Well, the Krampus is 180 degrees from that. He's a scary, scary monster, and he certainly sets kids right if they're going to get anything, and he scares them and whatever. So the Krampus is a German folklore character, and we are celebrating for the first time the International Krampus Festival at Historic Camden right outside of Columbia, South Carolina, on November 30th and December 1st. We're going to have a lot of great folks. We're going to have some medieval vendors and horse riding and things like that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so that's just another one of the paranormal things that I like to get involved in. We're going to have ghost tours of Historic Camden and talking. And Jenna, you and I, about a month and a half ago, we talked about the story of a beautiful ghost named Agnes of Glasgow from Camden. Mm-hmm. And since you and I spoke, everything that we talked, I've got that whole little folio together, and the things that you and I talked about, every one of them seemed to be true. They
nice.
Seem to fit right into the real story of Agnes of Glasgow. And so hopefully we'll have a little bit of time next weekend at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference that we can talk a little bit more about Agnes, because she might play a role in this wonderful display that we're going to have. So I just wanted to say thank you for taking time about a month or 6 weeks ago for us to talk about it and try to conjecture what her life might have been like. But it seems like the things that we discussed, especially you, are very, very true. So I'll tell you more about that, and then maybe we can come on one of my shows and talk about Agnes after the Krampus and after all of it's over. I think it'd be fun because, you know, when you're interested in Bigfoot and UFOs and the paranormal, there are lots of neat topics. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that. So I just wanted to mention the Krampus Festival, the International Krampus Festival, which is November 30th, December 1st at Historic Camden, Canada, South Carolina. And you can go to KrampusFestival.org and find out more about it. So anyway, it's just fun getting to deal in topics that you love, like the paranormal. And I know, as I've spoken with Jen – frequently about it. I know the two of you really do love going out and exploring for Bigfoot, especially up there in up in the Minnesota area and all that. I know you just really love that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, I'm jealous. Hopefully one day I can come up there. And isn't it, is it the Red Lake area? Isn't that the big, big lake around where there might be some things, some sightings?
Yeah, we like to go look up there. It's a closed reservation, though, so you need a guide with you if you're going to go up there. Because you can't just go up there and run around without a tribal member.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So yeah. It's a, but we found quite a few things up there when we've gone up looking there. And as well as other reservations, we tend to hang out on Indian reservations. Like this weekend, we're going to be up at the White Earth Indian Reservation for the Paracon event. And I know Lauren Coleman is going to be there from the Bigfoot Museum in Maine. And I don't know, we offered to take him out Bigfoot last year for this year, so we'll see if he wants to go.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, it would be fun. But we do find ourselves a lot on Indian reservations up here, and that's where we seem to have our good luck. So they're very wild areas that are less people, and you know, even if they do run into people, native people seem to leave them alone.
Well, let's put it this way. I think maybe the vibes on reservations, at least toward Bigfoot and things that don't normally show up elsewhere, the vibes are good. And I think it's wonderful that you're able to go up to places like that and to hunt for Bigfoot. And one day Bigfoot will let you see Bigfoot. I don't think it's the other way around. I think we can all go hunt, but once Bigfoot's ready to be seen, he and or she will show up and communicate. That's what I think.
I agree completely. I think it's all up to them when they want to show themselves, really.
And doesn't that go to show how intelligent they are, that they do avoid humans? Isn't that really shows how intelligent they are? You know, I would avoid humans too.
Me too.
Sure.
Well, I'm sure with everything they hear and see of us, I mean, it's not good the way we bring guns out and kill and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And one thing that I've been seeing more and more, especially of not only Bigfoot, but Lizard Man, and even to some extent people or aliens from UFOs, is the emphasis these days on their interdimensional qualities. Because I think that's one thing that they can do. It just explains why we know they're there. There are hundreds of thousands of reports of them, and they're there, but they just can seem to vanish at will. And it really says something about the interdimensional quality of them. I know there's a gentleman up in Washington State. He's got a couple of books about how he is in contact with Bigfoot, and Bigfoot teaches him, but he's never physically touched or seen Bigfoot, but he knows it's Bigfoot. He's had visions. He says at night that he can feel the spirit of Bigfoot around, and Bigfoot has given him a lot of knowledge about native plants and healing that he should never have had. And that just goes to show, and it reinforces what I believe is the interdimensional quality of Bigfoot and a lot of these wonderful cryptids that we're all looking for. They're not just standing around behind the next apartment complex. They're in their own venue, their own dimension, and they come out and let us see them when they want us to see. And that's one reason why I don't think many people have ever been hurt by these, unless they're just weird and go out and they're very unwise. I think as long as you listen to yourself and realize that you're dealing with an interdimensional spiritual being that is also very, very real and physical when it wishes, I think if you do that, then we're always going to get along with them until the day that they really want us to see them.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Dr. John. And with that, we're at the half mark of the show. We're going to have to take a 2-minute break. And so stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back in a little bit with Dr. John Stamey.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jenna.
Excuse me.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, and this is the Journey Radio Show. When we are not live on the air like we are right now, you can find us at thejourneyradioshow.com. And please check out our Facebook page and give us a like there. And hey, we are the She Squatchers. Check out our website, shesquatchers.com. Click on our events page for all the details on the upcoming events that we're going to. Like this weekend, we'll be at the Minnesota Paracon in Minomen, Minnesota. And we'll be there with lots of big stars and of course, hanging out and rubbing shoulders with all those people again. So come out to see us there. And next week, we will be in Kingsport, Tennessee at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference at the Bays Mountain Park and Planetarium in the beautiful Kingsport, Tennessee. So I'm hoping that all you out there will come and see us. I know Fred in the chat room. He's in Tennessee. He's going to try to get there, he says. I can't wait to meet Fred in person because he comes and listens quite frequently to the show. So it would be really cool to meet Fred there. So for information about that event, go to BigfootDay.com. And you should sign up for the VIP party because I'm telling you what, you have to have a ticket for that. And you're going to want to be there hanging out with all of us because it's going to be a little party. And you have to have a special ticket for that. And that is an all-inclusive ticket that has a 2-day entrance into the event as well. And you get a t-shirt from the event. And you get a copy of that Bigfoot Explorers 2018 book that Dr. John was talking about earlier that he wrote. And hey, we're featured on the cover, I think, aren't we? And we'll sign that for you. It's sure to be a collector's thing for Bigfoot conventions. So we'll be doing that. So go check that out at the VIP party and get your tickets for that right away at BigfootDay.com. And then don't forget to sign up to go on the Bigfoot expedition with Matthew Delf and Sam DeLoach from Mountain Empire Cryptid Researchers Organization, MECRO. And he's going to be leading it, but we're going to be there too. So you're going to want to go out. Don't you want to go Bigfoot hunting with us? I know you do. It's not expensive. Go check it out. Get your tickets for that at BigfootDay.com. What else is going on? I've looked at that area, Dr. John. We've got Dr. John Stamey with us tonight, everyone. He's the one who's organizing this event, putting everything together. So he's the magic maker over there.
Hey. We hope.
Yes, yeah, I've been looking at the area of the Bays Mountain Park and Planetarium, and that is such a beautiful, beautiful place. I watched even some drone footage of being flown over the park, and I'm just like, whoa, if that isn't squatchy, I don't know what is. So I can't wait to get out in the woods there. That is just going to be awesome. That is just going to be awesome.
It really is. And Jen, I've got a question for you before we go any farther. You mentioned that the She-Squatchers are on the front cover of Bigfoot Explorer's book. Well, they are. But the picture is extremely unusual and has a great story behind it. Would you mind telling that story? I know it. It was really cool when you sent me that and you told me what had happened. Do you mind sharing that story?
Sure thing. In a previous Bigfoot expedition, I had felt an interesting energy feeling at a location that made me question the area. So we returned to that, and we had a really amazing Bigfoot experience at that location. So through that, I learned that there's a specific energy feeling that I can pick up on having to do with Bigfoot. And so on a different scouting mission that Jenna, Nikki, and I were on, up on the Red Lake Indian Reservation in Minnesota, we were checking out some old gravel pits that are no longer used, because there was a sighting there from a local of what she thought was a monkey. And she had said she thought maybe it must have escaped from a zoo or something. So she was letting people know that if they were looking for the lost monkey, she saw it over here. And very credible witness, very credible. And so we were looking there, and we did find some footprints, but it was in a high traffic area of a lot of other critters. I just didn't feel like it was a really good, solid evidence of Bigfoot, because there was just too much other traffic through that. So I said, let's go up the road to that other place that I had never been to before. It was maybe 20-25 miles up the road. So we get in the car and Nikki's driving, and I like that when another person on our team drives, because then I can open my awareness fully. And I'm a psychic medium, so I don't think that I should be opening my awareness fully into that psychic conscious state and then be driving a vehicle. That's probably very irresponsible to be doing that. So Nikki was driving, and I've got my awareness open, and all of a sudden I felt that same energy feeling that I had felt at that other location, and it pulled me to the right, and I looked, and there was a woods there, and I yelled, stop the car. And I said, there's something back there in that woods back there. We got to go back and get in that woods. And, you know, the girls are like, what? Okay. And so we turned the car around and we found an area where we could drive into that. And behind that little woods there was a gravel pit hiding back there that we didn't know was back there. And although Nikki lives in that area, she didn't know it was there either. So we get back, we pull up in there, and plain as day, you could see these footprints going up this gravel pit hill. And it was so steep that it was impossible for a human to walk up that on two legs without Jenna and Nikki climbed up it on all fours, and they were sliding back down because it was so steep. And these footprints, the smallest footprint was 18 inches long with five toes, and the track of the prints went all the way to the top. And it was a fascinating find, and we were so excited. And we've had other people look at this, and like Bobo from Finding Bigfoot on TV had looked at it, and he even agreed that this hill was too steep for it to have been a human or a bear, and that it had to be a Squatch for how steep that was. Because if you had seen Jenna and Nikki trying to climb that hill next to it, it was quite comical, actually. They would take one step into the hill, and they're on their all fours, and their foot would just slide right back down. They never had space between their feet. And these footprints that we're looking at, these giant footprints going all the way up to the top, there was lots of space in between those footprints. So it was just incredible to see how much strength that this had to have. And it never put its hands down. It went straight up without putting its hands down. It was unbelievable. So it was a wonderful find, and that's a picture of that. Jenna was standing at the top of the hill looking down at the footprints, and there I am just looking really tiny at the bottom because I'm so far down the hill. I'm standing at the bottom. And all the footprints, the track of footprints between her and I, and Nikki. Nikki's kind of halfway in the picture off to the side. So that was the cover on the Bigfoot Explorers book. And it's one of our favorite pictures, that's for sure. But you can see the detail in the footprints in the photograph. And you can kind of see how steep that hill is just by seeing straight down at me and how far down I am. But it was an incredible find. It was really exciting. I'm going to tell you that trying to cast footprints in a gravel pit is very difficult, and it doesn't work out very well.
Yeah.
But we've talked to some other Bigfoot researchers who've given us some pointers for different things to try if we should find footprints like that in a gravel pit again. And I'll share those with you for anybody out there who looks for Bigfoot and might be interested to hear this little tip. If you're in a gravel pit and you find footprints and you want to cast them, they suggested that we put Saran Wrap into the print first so that it doesn't pick up all the gravel. So first you spray it with a really hard, heavy hairspray, let it set up, put the Saran Wrap in there, and then pour in your casting material. So we're going to keep that for next time. Because we did make casts, and they really didn't turn out very well at all. It was really bad.
Oh, it was bad.
It was bad.
But, you know, what a learning experience. That was a good learning experience.
And every other researcher that I've talked to about it, they agreed casting in gravel pits is very difficult to get a good print. So I'm glad to have gotten some feedback and some pointers to try for next time. So it'll be good. And, you know, we've had good luck looking for Bigfoot in gravel pits that are abandoned or are rarely used or that are surrounded by the woods and not readily seen from the road. We've had really good luck finding Bigfoot traces there. And, you know, we think that they probably use those as hunting grounds, that they are at the top and they wait for something to come down to the bottom and they rush down the hill. That's what we think. That's our theory. We don't know that for sure, and nobody else knows for sure either. So that's our working theory right now. We think that might be what's going on, and we're open to your ideas too. So please feel free to share those with us. But yeah, that's about the picture on the front cover of the Bigfoot Explorers 2018. I am excited to see this new version for the conference. I'm excited to see that. How is it different?
It's going to have Matt's story, the Indiana Bigfoot sighting, and then I'm not going to say any more about that because people can read it. Then it's also going to have a shorter story. Now, this story comes from one of the Pop Culture Stars co-hosts that we have, Todd Sexton. Todd he's living in Indiana now, but he's originally from Jacksonville. And he said something in his story about Bigfoot. Let me just briefly go over this, and I'll tell how it dovetails in to what you just said. Todd and a buddy of his, they were about 18 years old. They were out fishing at night near their favorite stream, and then they heard something coming through the woods. And it was very, very dark. And they had just kind of gotten to their night vision together, but they were very frightened because they didn't know what it was. And it was moving extremely quickly through the woods, and so it was going to cross the stream about 25 or 30 feet below them downriver. And I guess what Todd noticed is he said the stream is about 15, 20 feet wide. And he noticed how quickly it passed through the creek. The creek was, I think, three or four feet deep. And what he said to me, he said, I knew that it wasn't human because of how quickly it got through. We had tried before on that creek to just wade through it. And he said that because of our short legs, because we were humans, 5, 5.5, 6 feet tall, that it was just nearly impossible for us to get through. We had to like kneel down and almost swim to get through that creek. But he said, whatever this creature was, and it had to be Bigfoot, he said, it just paraded right through there. like, and that gave Todd the indication that it was about 7 or 8 feet tall, because its legs had to be so long that it could just plow right through that creek. So, and you talked about how the distance between the footsteps on in that hill and the gravel pit. So that just said, that is further indication that what we're dealing with here is 7 to 8 feet tall. It has long legs, very powerful legs. It can just make mincemeat of a gravel pit, and it can make mincemeat of a stream that's, you know, 4 feet deep. It can just move right through it. So that's another, you know, similar story to what you had. You know, got a story here in Indiana from Todd, and got a story from you in northern Minnesota. And you know, they both have the similar thing, that the being was tall, the being was powerful, and had a long gait or a long stride. So, you know, that it just says it doesn't matter where it is, whether it's Indiana or whether it's Minnesota, this is what we're dealing with. So that's why you really do have to be careful when you're out there. Now, and I will say that my business partner in Carolina Caricatures, Cody Haynes, is out camping by himself tonight in eastern Tennessee. And I said, now, Cody, why are you doing that? That is about the last place I would want to go by myself. I mean, we know the story of Daniel Boone, and he talked about taking refuge in that cave and just going to sleep, and then trying to get there, and he was still awake when something came and looked at him, and it scared the devil out of him. But he knew enough to be quiet, and he knew enough to get out of there, mm-hmm. when it, you know, during daylight. So you've got to be careful. I think it's wonderful to explore for Bigfoot. But am I not correct that you need to do it with friends, with multiple
yes.
friends? You don't need to be out there by yourself. You don't know what can happen.
Well, and, you know, it's not just Bigfoot that a person has to worry about. It's other animals, and there's people, too. So, yeah, definitely, you know, going out with someone other than just yourself is the safest thing to do. Wouldn't you agree, Jen?
Oh, yeah, I you know, as much as I have always been out in the woods by myself as a kid and grew up in the woods, I guess I was unaware of the whole Bigfoot thing until we started looking for Bigfoot. And then now I question the idea of going out by myself. You know, now I like to be with my team. I like to go out with my team rather than just by myself. So I totally agree. You know, it's better to be with others, in my opinion. That's for sure. And if they start throwing rocks at you, don't go that way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure.
I tell you what, you're not the first person that I've heard say that. Several folks that have been out there looking for Bigfoot have said when they start seeing or feeling rocks being thrown at them, they know that that's a sign. So again, so many similar experiences of folks that don't know each other. I keep hearing those, and that's what's fascinating about this whole Bigfoot thing, is that I hear similar stories from people that don't know each other. That, again, tells me that there's something very real and very similar to all of these beings that are out there in the woods. It really is.
Exactly.
I think it is so fascinating how we can find Bigfoot in just about every state that we go to, but their story, the way that they live, might be different according to their environment. You know, some places have caves and some places don't have caves. Other, you know, up in Minnesota where we look, you know, we don't have so much caves up there, but we know they're up in the trees. And I also think that they do have some places where they have burrowed under the ground and have dens under the ground, like bears do. So I think that they have a mixture of both of that in northern Minnesota, where we look, where there aren't any caves. But I've had the pleasure of going to look for Bigfoot in Ohio, in a very active area, and identified some caves that they hadn't seen, because we actually went when there was no foliage on the trees, and you could see it a lot easier. And I was using my camera to zoom in and see further. And I'm like, you know, there's caves right there. There are caves right there on that steep ravine that it would be very difficult for a human to climb it. But knowing what I know about Bigfoot, they can easily walk up hills like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very fun to see the differences and in their environments and how they thrive. They seem to thrive anyway, you know, in even harsh weather. It's just really fascinating to me how resilient they are. And I can't wait to check out Tennessee.
That's right. Now, you know, there's one thing that we haven't talked about tonight, and that is the sound that Bigfoot makes. And, you know, a lot of people have told me, and I'm sure people have told you, and you heard it, but...
And I think Dr. John just broke up enough where we can't hear you, Dr. John, if you can hear me. I'll just pick up where I know what he was going to say. Yeah. I'll just talk for you. You were breaking up there. I think you were going to be talking about the Bigfoot calling contest, weren't you?
You better believe it. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yeah, go ahead.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, we're going to have the Bigfoot calling competition. Now, you ladies have been involved in one. Tell us a little bit about how it works. Everybody needs to know this.
We've done more than one. We always like to suggest a Bigfoot calling contest because it's always a good time. Everybody seems to enjoy that. And so we suggested that to Dr. John for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and he said, yes, let's do it.
Yay.
We're going to have a couple different categories. And so there's going to be a kids only. They're going to have their best authentic Bigfoot call. It's going to have a prize winner for that. And then the adult category is going to have two categories. We're going to have the most authentic, best Bigfoot call. And you'll be judged on your sound. How authentic does it sound? How loud is it? How far will that sound carry? You know, so you better be out there practicing, everybody. Get ready for that Bigfoot calling contest. And the second category in the adult section is really, really a fun one that we started doing recently. And that is the Bigfoot mating call. And honestly, I don't think anybody knows what a Bigfoot mating call sounds like. So this gets pretty interesting. This is leaving it up to the creativeness of all the people who have entered the contest. And the last event that we did where we hosted a Bigfoot calling contest, more people joined the mating call contest than any of the others put together.
Yeah.
The crowd loved it. And the variance of their idea of what a Bigfoot mating call sounds like was really funny.
it was so fun. And you could tell when they were up there, boy, they were enjoying themselves. They weren't worried about being necessarily judged like a real contest. But this is like Jen said, it's a mating call. No one really knows how it should sound. So, yeah, we heard some doozies. It was so fun.
So I'm going to encourage everybody to join the Bigfoot calling contest. And, you know, if you're an adult, you can be in both sections, both categories, right? So you can do your authentic call and be taken seriously with the rest and then just have fun with your Bigfoot mating call. You just never know. Maybe you'll call in the Squatches down over to the Bays Mountain Park Planetarium, right?
Heck
that
yeah.
Would be fun.
Heck
that yeah. Would be fun. Yeah. We'll have to have somebody watching the trees. Maybe Matthew Duff will watch the trees and see if anything's calling back. It's going to be a really fun time. And I know that there's prizes for that. I'm not exactly sure what the prizes are, but I think they're going to be fun and worthwhile. So everybody should come on down. Go get your tickets at BigfootDay.com. And so you can come to the Bigfoot Calling Contest and participate. And maybe you'll win. You just never know. Never know. Right, Dr. Mm-hmm. John?
That's right. But there's one other thing you better remember. Since it's at Bays Mountain Park, if you do a Bigfoot call, and the wolves answer back, you know that you got something going on. They could those wolves could answer right back at you.
Uh-huh.
We don't know what that means, but it has to mean something, you know.
Right.
We've heard some theories.
Yeah. Matthew Delph is in the chat room, and he just said, "I don't know if I want to be outside with the mating calls." He's joking. It's funny.
Oh, Matthew, you're so funny.
So all those female Bigfoots will come in for Matt, and they'll take him away, and he'll learn lots. He'll come back. I was Bigfoot love slave.
And I bet he wouldn't mind.
I volunteer Matt for that job. And
I second it. Well, Matt, you're outnumbered. You are going.
Or hey, right. Even Papa Stroh. Papa Stroh might take one for the team.
Oh, yeah. Papa Stroh.
Yeah. He's be like, yeah, I think he'd take one for the team. We'll volunteer him too.
All right. They'll probably take them both.
Yeah, you never know. Yep. You never know. Oh, it's going to be a fun time. I'm really looking forward to it. Can't wait to be there. So we've got the events all day Friday, all day Saturday. We've got the VIP meet and greet Friday night, and for those VIP members. And then we've got the Bigfoot Calling Contest at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and the Bigfoot Expedition mm-hmm. on Saturday evening. Can't wait. Well, it's going to be jam-packed fun.
Now, the expedition, we've moved that to Sunday, and I'll tell you why. We realized, and Matt and I were talking, that getting everybody out there in the dark in the woods could be dangerous just because of what you might trip over and fall over. So we're going to be moving that to Sunday morning. That way it won't be as dangerous to just be out there. We want to minimize the danger, but also it'll be a little easier to potentially see Bigfoot if you find him, take some photographs. So we decided that would probably be a smart thing is to do it starting on Sunday morning. So we're gonna change that, but I think it'll just be a good idea. We don't want anyone to get hurt out there in the woods and sprain an ankle.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and it will give me an idea of maybe what kind of equipment I should bring too, so I don't have to pack all of it. Overpackers Anonymous.
Yeah, Jenna's got, I got to tell you, she's got the arsenal of Bigfooting equipment. She's got, you know, when you watch movies of assassins and they have these really articulate silver cases that are padded with their sniper rifle inside of it, Jenna's got one of those cases, a Buku on rollers with all of her equipment in there. And she looks like an assassin rolling up in there with all of her Bigfoot equipment.
Mm-hmm. There should be some kind of song on when I walk in.
Right, exactly. But don't start singing. We're on the air.
I know. I made myself stop. I was like, don't sing it.
So yeah, we're coming to the end of the show. We just have 1 minute left. So I want to encourage everybody to go to BigfootDay.com and check out the event, Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and come on out and see us. And everybody else is going to be there. It's going to be a really good time. And I can't wait to hear Dr. John's talk. That's going to be really interesting too, I think. So
it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And I want to hear Angelia's talk on Bigfoot and UFOs, the sightings, where they were being reported together. I have looked the internet for that up one side and down the other and can't find all the info on it. So I can't wait to hear that.
We might have to take a break from the table because there's a few people I would really, really love to hear speak. Rick, Angelia, there's so many. Maybe we could take a little break.
Tammy, you're on booth duty. You think she'll go for that?
No.
All right. Well, this is the end of the show, so I wanted to thank Dr. John for coming on with us tonight. And again, go to BigfootDay.com and check out the event and get your tickets now before the ticket prices go up. So make sure you do that. And Fred, if you're out there, can't wait to see you. Come see us. And he's in Tennessee, so I expect to see him there. And he said he's going to do his best to get there. So, and again, we're the She Squatchers at SheSquatchers.com. And thejourneyradioshow.com. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next week. Good night.